Here's the title of the message, Prayer with a Dagger and a Sword. Prayer with a dagger and a sword. There are certain battles where your prayer, you can use your, you can, whatever you pray about, whatever you're specifically praying about, God is causing your prayers to be victorious and effective. Whatever one thing you are praying about, you are winning. In Psalms 56, 9, it says, the very day you pray, the tide of the battle turns. If you're praying about your health, if you're praying about your finances, if you're praying about your state of mind, if you're praying about depression, whatever one thing you are praying about, you are winning. Are you with me? Say yes. These are up close and personal battles that you are aware of. You know exactly what you're fighting. But then there are other battles that they're a reach away. You don't know exactly what you're fighting. You know there's something, but you just don't know what it is. You're trying, and because you don't know exactly what's going on, you can't fight it. It's like, but there are another prayer that is not in your known language. It's a language that you've never studied before, that everyone can have. And it's called speaking in tongues. Now, don't freak out. I'm not going to speak in tongues this morning. So nobody can run out. Although some of you will leave the room able to speak in tongues. We'll get to that at the end. But don't worry about it. It's not going to be weird. Everyone say yes. This is such a touchy topic that I'm insecure about it. So when I say everyone say yes, I need you to say yes. All right? Everybody say yes? All right. So we're going to dive into the topic, and here's my goal. There are so many of you who speak in tongues already, but you don't speak in tongues very often. And so my first goal is by the end of this message, you will speak in tongues every day, all the time. That's my first goal. My second goal is that for those of you who don't, you will look at it and realize that that gift is available to you and you must have it and you're courageous enough to go for it. All right. Are you with me? All right. So let me just read a few things. But before I do, let me say this. Oftentimes, churches will skip over this entire topic because they don't want people to leave. And I don't want you to leave, and that's why I'm nervous. But they skip over it. So what do we do? What are Christians supposed to do with a topic that's been brought up 20 to 23 times in the Bible? What do you do with that? Do you just throw it? Like, I don't understand that. If you only want things from God that you understand, you will never walk with Him to the degree that you're able. Never. Because you have a finite mind. I have a finite mind. We can't imagine things that God's doing. And so if you don't have spiritual gifts, then you're limited. And this is why Satan fights really, really hard for this gift, because he knows that you're praying for things and against strategies that you're not supposed to know about. And you're asking for things that you're not supposed to know to ask for. Now, let me illustrate this. Can I get my espresso right here? I drink about 12 of these a day. Don't judge me. Every room I go to, there's a green room back there, espresso. My office, espresso. My house, espresso. I'm trying to figure out how to get it in my truck. Espresso, espresso, espresso. But I've been drinking just straight espresso for a long time, but my first sip, always, every time. Every time. Are you with me, Adam? Adam, he's addicted just like I am. When you drink it, first drink, it hits you. It hits you. But then there's this is black coffee. Then there's coffee with cream. There's, how many people here is coffee with cream? Like, it's white. It's white. It's not coffee. It's a milkshake. Like, my daughter, she's in college. She's like, oh, I got to go to Starbucks. I'm like, I want to go to Starbucks. We get there, and she's like, I'll have a double latte with extra milk and whipped cream. I'm like, why are we here? Let's go to Burger King. See, there's some coffee, it's easy going down. There are some scriptures in the Bible, they're easy to embrace. Like John 3:16, nobody has a problem with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish. This is the white poster board at football games behind the end zone. Nobody has a problem with that scripture. Everybody's like, yes, ooh, that's a Christian. I'm a Christian. Yeah. Those are white. That's the latte. But then we got scriptures that when you read it, you go, what are you going to do with it? Skip it, throw it out, hold the page like this and take a lighter and burn a little hole right in there? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? So we got to talk about these things. Are you ready? Yes. Thank you. Let's unpack a few things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. The Bible says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Like, want. This is the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Want this. Don't learn. Listen to this. Don't learn to live without them. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Desire them. I want you to want them. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it reads like this. Let's all read it together, all right? Real loud. 1, 2, 3. For if you have... Let's start over. Can we do that? Real loud. 1, 2, 3, everyone. For if you have... People don't understand you. You don't understand you. You're speaking in mysteries. Now watch this. Watch this. Ephesians 3:20. Many of you know the scripture. For God is able. It doesn't say he will, but it says he's able to give you more than you can ask, more than you can seek or imagine. Now listen to this. In James 4:2, it says, if you ask not, you receive not. So let's put those two scriptures together. It says, I can give you what you cannot imagine. Over here saying, but if you don't ask for it, you're not getting it. How do you ask for something that you don't even know is there? But if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. See, When you speak in tongues, you are asking for something in the spirit and fighting for it in the spirit, but you can't understand it. And if you don't speak in tongues, you only ask for what you can think of. Now, God will bless it. He will grant it, but that one thing that you're praying for. When you're speaking in tongues, you're praying for things you don't even understand. You're praying for protection from the enemy, and at the same time, you're telling the Lord, I want experiences with you. I want to be alone with you and experience your presence in ways that I can't even imagine. At the same time, you're praying for your finances. At the same time, you're praying for addictions. You're praying for things that you can't imagine. Are you with me? Say yes. So listen, there are, thank you for the encouragement. There are two pushbacks. Now, if you've grown up in a denomination, we're non-denominational, but if you grew up in a denomination where you go, I want to believe in you, Frankie, but I was always taught, you know, let me share with you two pushbacks. The first one is speaking in tongues used to happen, but it's been passed away. It doesn't happen anymore. This is where the scripture is coming from. They're not just making that up. This is where the scripture is coming from. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. There's going to come a time when people prophesy and it doesn't matter. Whether there are tongues, people will speak in tongues, they will cease. People who speak in tongues, you're not going to speak in tongues anymore. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. The knowledge that you have, you don't need it. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know a lot. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So a lot of people, they don't really read, leave that verse up there for me. They don't read the last part, or they don't emphasize the last part where it says when things are perfect. So what is the scripture saying? It's saying that when things are perfect, we're not going to need to prophesy anymore. Our knowledge means nothing anymore. Speaking in tongues isn't necessary anymore when things become perfect. Now, give me a second. Let me see if there's any perfect people out here. You will only be perfect. I will only be perfect when we are looking face to face with God. And then all of our knowledge isn't even necessary anymore. It's not necessary. Prophesying about what will come in the future, it's not even necessary. You're looking at Jesus. You don't have to speak in tongues. You're looking at Jesus. Watch this. In Philippians 3:12, Paul says this, "Oh, that I may apprehend." What does apprehend mean? Take hold of. He goes, "Oh, that I may take hold of Him who has taken hold of me." In other words, God has a hold of me. Even when I try to ignore Him, I keep on thinking about Him. He's got a hold of me. Even when I stop praying for months, He still crosses my mind. He's got a hold of me. When I'm not thinking about Him, I know He's thinking about me. He's got a hold of me. So Paul says this, you got a hold of me. And if you get to grab my heart like that, oh, that I may apprehend you. If you're going to grab me like that, I want to grab you like that. In Psalms 139, verse 1 through 4, I think, he says this, the scripture, David says this, he goes, "Oh God, You have searched my heart. You know everything about me. You see when I sit down. You notice when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm afar off from you. You see me when I travel or when I stay at home at rest. You know everything I do. You know every word I'm going to say even before I say it. Now put the two scriptures together. You know me. I want to know you. And when that happens, you will be perfect. You won't need to speak in tongues because all things have become perfect. So has speaking in tongues gone away? No. Because you're not perfect. Are you with me? Let me hear you. Are you with me? Speaking in tongues is not for everyone. So some people think that Jesus is like a quarterback. Blue, 24, 5. I don't know what this means, but they do this a lot. Blue, 24. And he backs up and he takes the gift of speaking in tongues, and it's for some people, but not everyone. Where's that mindset? Where's that theology coming from? Well, there's a scripture. It reads like this. You're good. Tech guy, give him a big round of applause. Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues? Well, let me ask you. Do all Christians speak in tongues? There you go. There's your answer. No. Not everybody speaks in tongues. Christians who have an address in heaven, if their heart were to stop beating right now, they're going to heaven. They have an address in heaven. They're saved. Do all of them speak in tongues? No. Okay, now that we've established that, let's take another scripture because one scripture doesn't cancel out another scripture. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says this, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new languages. This is what one of the signs, but I can back this up. They will cast out demons. So when you're in your room and there's a temptation, you can back up and say, Satan, I rebuke that temptation, and this is a sign of you being a believer. And you stab that spirit, and that spirit is gone. But these are signs. This wedding band right here is a sign. That's one sign. But it also says that you will speak in tongues. It's a sign. So now, what do we do? What do we do? Because we got two scriptures that they seem like they're conflicting. Because it says, does everybody speak in tongues? No. But these signs shall follow everyone who's a believer. What do you do with that? How do you bridge that? I'm so glad you asked. You're ahead of me. Here we go. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, listen to Jesus where he says this. He says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Do you hear the heart of God? I wish you all spoke in tongues. Not all of you do. But they will follow all believers. I wish you all did. So there are four types of speaking in tongues. I'm going to go fast, real fast, because I want to spend a little bit more time at the end. There are four types of speaking in tongues. Two are public and two are private. In other words, two, you speak in tongues with people around, and then the other two, you don't speak in tongues with anybody around. The first one is a sign to the unbelievers that when a person speaks in tongues out loud, unbelievers go, whoa, something's up. See, in Acts chapter 2, there was a mighty rushing wind. The believers were praying, and all of a sudden it was like this wind. And all these people that were outside of the upper room, they start walking up, thousands, about 5,000 people. They start walking up, and they're like, what's going on? And the disciples come out, and they start speaking in their language. These were Galileans. They're supposed to only be able to speak in Aramaic. And so if there's French people out there, they're speaking French. Now, Galileans are known for not being very educated, right? They, like, ain't got none, no way. It's like, I understand what you said, but that was a really uneducated way of saying it. It ain't got none, no way. Y'all come back now here. Like, I'm tracking you. There seem to be uneducated. But now they're speaking in native tongues. And they're like, how are you doing that? They were speaking in tongues. And they're like, whoa, that was a sign to them. Very few people have this sign. If I just start speaking in tongues right now, I don't have that particular gift. I do speak in tongues, but not that one, because there's two public, two private. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, if unbelievers come into your church and they hear you speaking in tongues, they will think that you have gone mad. M-A-D. That word is in the Bible. So when I speak in tongues on the front row, it's not even loud enough for me to hear myself. And you say, well, why are you speaking in tongues in the first place? Because I don't know who's in this room, and I don't know what you're fighting, but I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for me. Are you with me? So I don't have that particular gift. But that's a public gift. It's for unbelievers. The other public gift, I want to make sure I go in order here, is for interpretation, where you can speak in tongues and the person next to you goes, I know what you're saying. I'm going to tell everybody what you just said. That's two public gifts. I don't have that one either. I'm in the category of number three, the private gift. I talk to God, and it's in mysteries. I have no idea. You have no idea. I used this example before, but I'm going to use it again. When I was 12, my dad went to go preach for the Navajo Indians. Every single night, for four nights straight, I am crying my eyes out because I feel like my dad's about to die. Bawling, speaking in tongues like crazy. I can't speak in English because I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know why I'm happening. I don't know why I'm up at midnight. I don't know what to say. If you know what to say when you're praying, just know this, that angels are fighting for you and you will be victorious. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm feeling. The only thing I feel like is my dad's gonna die. So I'm laying there as an 11-year-old, just speaking in tongues. And then the very last night, he was gone preaching for four nights. Very last night, all of a sudden, it was like, everything's okay. I got up, went to bed. Gone. Bed. My dad comes home and goes, Frankie, oh my goodness, I forgot my Primatine Mist. Wave your hand at me if you know what that is. They don't really use it anymore because it's disgusting. But you used to go to be able to go to Walgreens and you buy this thing called Primatene Mist, and it's for people who have asthma. He forgot the Primatene Mist, and he goes, Frankie, every single night I was breathing like I was sucking air through a straw. But I'm over here fighting for him. I'm over here fighting for him. Now, you can be a Christian and say, I'm going to pass on that gift. But think real hard before you make that decision. If you say, I pass on every gift I don't understand, you're not going to receive a lot. Because what you're telling God is, I only want to have a relationship with you like I have with other human beings. Are you with me? Let's go real quickly. Those are the four. Personal prayer. Number three reasons to speak in tongues. I'm 25 seconds over, so I'm going to go fast. Can you listen fast? Mysteries become realities. Romans 8:26. Would you read this real loud for me, everybody? In the same way... I am so when you speak in tongues, there are opportunities that you call out to. There's things that you ask for that you don't know those opportunities exist. There are demons and enemies that are coming against you. You don't even know they are. And when you speak in tongues, you go against them. These are mysteries. I told my wife, all three of our kids have got to speak in tongues. I just got real nervous because two of Luke's friends are on the fourth row. And I told Luke, I was like, are you really sure you want to invite them today? He goes, I gave them a heads up. And I'm like, okay, y'all still gonna think y'all? They came over last night for pizza. They may not be back over ever again. Because I want the kids to speak in tongues because they need to be able to know how to fight for themselves. I need Luke, I need Presley, I need Kate laying in the bed before they fall asleep, speaking in tongues, because they don't know if there's a demon that's trying to sneak into their room while they're sleeping. They don't know if there's somebody that they are going to meet 4 months from now that's going to try to pull them down. I need them to be strong in every environment that they're in. You cannot shake them. I cannot make them strong. They have to make themselves strong. And how do they do that? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. When you speak in tongues, you strengthen yourself. Here's the thing. I don't know what Luke and what Presley and Kate are going to be doing 20 years from now. They don't either. They don't even know what they're doing tomorrow. But that's a different conversation. I don't know what I'm going to be doing 15 years from now. I'll be pastoring here. You're stuck with me. But I know that God has more plans for me than what I'm doing. How do I reach out for those plans without speaking in tongues? If you feel almost dissatisfied, if I have hit my peak in life and I got to live the rest of my life at this stage, I'm going to live the rest of my life depressed. How do you ask for things? You have to be able to speak in tongues to ask for the mysteries. The mysteries. Am I doing okay? Is this okay? I usually don't ask if I'm just feeling insecure this morning. Winning in warfare. Watch this. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I meet people all the time that have been struggling with the same addiction, the same fear, the same anxiety for years and years and years. The same thing. Because they don't know what they're fighting. And the Spirit prays through you when you speak in tongues, because the Spirit knows what you're fighting. It's so interesting because there's this guy, this person, and it's just causing problems in our little world, not the celebration world, just like the Mazapika world. And I had another friend say, no, I thought it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call that guy up. Just say, do you know you're a jerk? Because I just nominated myself to let you know you're a jerk. You can tell I've prepared this. And before I did it, I was like, well, maybe I'll just send a really long text message so I can be very articulate with how big of a jerk this person is. As if you never thought about doing this. And then it hit me. I'm not talking to a person. They're not a jerk. There's a spirit controlling him. So I can text message him or call him or get nose to nose with him. It does nothing but make the problem worse. But I don't know what I'm fighting, interestingly enough. It's just, I don't know what's going on. But if I think about him and then I speak in tongues, the Spirit knows what's wrong with him and will just go fight for me. He'll go fight for me. So you win in warfare. But here's my favorite one. There's a level of intimacy with God. I talk to people all the time when they talk in English to God. Like they just run out of things to say, so they quit. When I go in my office and shut the door and I pray for a couple hours, it's so easy. Because the Spirit is just praying through me. It's so easy. And I'm able to connect with Him. Like when I close my eyes, like I'm 100% sure that you're in this room, even though my eyes are closed. Nobody snuck out. But when I'm speaking in tongues and I got my eyes closed, I'm just as sure that He's right here. I'm so sure I feel like I'm going to open up my eyes and see Him. That's how intimate. And I'm just grazing the surface. There are certain intimacies. I took Spanish lessons for a little while, and then I had to stop because it was becoming consuming. And I kept thinking, but anyway, it's becoming consuming. I can go to a Mexican restaurant and do really good. If I go with you to a Mexican restaurant, you're going to think I'm fluent. Now, I'm going to get nervous looking at you, but I can go in there and I don't know. Quiero fajitas de res. Quiero fajitas mixta de pollo, tortilla de harina, tortilla de maíz, I don't know, quiero agua mineral, quiero agua con gas, Quiero aguas sin gas. Quiero vino tinto. Mucho. Vino blanco. But if that waiter or waitress says, I'm really worried that I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. I have no idea what she just said. I can't connect with her at all. And those of us in the room that don't speak Spanish, but you live here, it's horrible. It's horrible looking at someone who does speak Spanish and you can't speak Spanish and you can't connect. It's horrible. When you can only pray in your known language, there are limitations on how well you can connect. I have two dogs. I love them both. I can communicate to these dogs because they know sign language. When I walk out, they come. Dogs recognize three tones. They don't recognize words. They recognize a low tone, a mid-tone, and a high tone. Max, low tone. He knows he's in trouble. Come here, Max. Come here, boy. Come here, boy. Everything's good. I go up a level, he knows things are great. Come here, boy. Come here. No idea what I'm saying. It's levels of tone. Now, have you ever looked at your dog and were like, your cat is dumb as a boxer. You have no chance. But you ever looked at an animal and just like, I wish I could communicate with you, but that's as far as we're going. It would kill me if that's the only way I could talk to my kids. Kill me. These little basic. And God looks at you and he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. And so Paul says this, last scripture. Well, what am I supposed to do now? I can speak in tongues of angels. I can speak in tongues of men. Now what do I do? But watch, he says that. He goes, what am I going to do? Last verse, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. He says this. What is the conclusion then? Well, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. He goes, why do I really have to make a decision? I'll pray about things I understand, and I'll also pray about things I don't understand. How about I just do both? Everybody stand to your feet for me, please, before this thing flies out of my hand. All right. Some of you are going to speak in tongues right now, but you're not going to freak the person out next to you because I don't want you to even hear you. I don't want any voice to come out. Just everybody say, hello, my name is, with no voice. One, two, three, go. I said no voice. You might need a little bit under it. Some of you are going to speak in tongues right now. I think 11, maybe more in the first service spoke in tongues. I can't remember. It happens. It's the only people who don't speak in tongues are the ones that are scared to look stupid in front of themselves. I had a friend of mine, he was scared to death to go for it in church. So he went and took a shower and he's like, nobody can hear me in here. And he went for it and spoke in tongues. But a lot of people, they're not willing to feel stupid in front of themselves, or they want God to come in there and like a blanket to grab your tongue and go. And those people never, ever, ever, ever. You gotta be willing to kind of, I don't get this, I'm going to give it a shot. How do you give it a shot? You say a syllable. Not a word. A syllable. And then the next syllable comes. So imagine teaching a baby how to say daddy. You don't say daddy. That's two syllables, daddy. You look at a baby and go, dad, 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 dad. And the baby's like, bleh, bleh. Then you're like, that's good enough. All right, let's go. Daddy, daddy, daddy. He said daddy. No, he didn't. Watch this. Daddy, daddy, daddy. He said it a minute ago. It's the same thing. You got to look at yourself like a baby. You're trying here. All right, I'm just trying. You know what I learned whenever I go to Mexico and I try to speak in Spanish? Nobody's looking at all the people who speak Spanish. Nobody's looking at me like, you're stupid. They're looking at me like, hey, you're trying. Are you with me? You know, when a Spanish-speaking person comes to the United States and they can't speak any English at all, but they're trying, what are you doing? Hey, just keep coming. You're getting it. Right? That's what the Lord's saying. Just keep coming. You're getting it. You say a syllable and then another syllable. And you say, I'm just saying the same syllable over and over again. You're in great company. Because angels have been circling around the throne singing the same word, one word, over and over again. All they do is go around the throne going, hallelujah, holy, 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 holy. That's all they've been saying for billions of years. That's all they will say. And it's not like God's going, you keep saying the same word. No, no, no. There's more coming out than just the sound of a word. It's just two syllables, holy, holy. And so if you're only saying two syllables, just get comfortable with it. Like, okay, I think I can start branching out. You start using your lips and start doing other syllables like dad, daddy. And then they get to be a smart mouth, daddy-o, daddy-o. But you have to be courageous to go for it. All right, so just put your hands out like this. And again, we got piano playing because I like it. I know the Lord loves music, but nobody can really hear because of the music. And so just enough sound to where your vocal cords are moving, but not loud enough for someone to hear you. Everybody say this, Jesus. Everybody, Jesus. I want to speak to you in a heavenly language. Give me this gift. Now. Say it again. Now. On the count of three, I want everyone here to open your mouth. If you want it, if you don't want it, you don't have to do it. And I want you to grab a syllable. And I want you to say that syllable over and over again. And I'm going to give you a few seconds, a few minutes, to allow that syllable to become familiar. And some of you might start adding other syllables to it. But if you don't want it and you just want to stand reverently with your mouth closed, then that's extremely honorable because you're being so reverent. But if you want it, go for it. In the name of Jesus, on three. One, everybody who can and everybody who wants to. One, two, three, go. Nobody's listening to you, so be courageous to feel stupid for a few seconds. All right, everybody stop. If this was your first time or your 1,000th, that's a hard word for me to say. Time to speak in tongues. Put both hands over your head and just wave them like this. First time or your millionth time? Really high. Everybody turn around, whether you're waving your hands or you're not. Everybody turn around. I just want you to see. All right, now put your hands down. If you just spoke in tongues for the first time, I want you to just put your hands up like this. One, two, three. 4, 5, 6, 7. And can I just say, I'm so freaked out right now, I can't even look at them. Luke's friends just wave their hands. Luke is gonna freak out. Let's do it again. Ready? Hands up, everybody who can, everybody who wants to. One, two, three, go. If you already have, make more syllables. Just run with it. There you go. Just be risky. Be risky. Nobody's listening to you, so just go for it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going, don't stop, just keep going. All right, you can stop. If today is the first day, even if you waved your hands, if today's the first time you spoke in tongues, or you think you spoke in tongues, but you're not sure, wave your hands like this. See, there's so many people waving hands, I can't even count them all. Put your hands together for that. Now, why did I say, if you think you did? Because your brain is still trying to keep pace with what your spirit is doing. And at a certain point, here's your brain, here's your spirit. At a certain point, your brain says, you know what? God's doing something with me. I don't even understand it, and I don't even care. Your brain will stop. It's like, how has he lived forever? At a certain point, your brain just goes, Speak in tongues 1,000 times a day. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name. Go speak in tongues 1,000. Everybody say 1,000. 1, 2, 3. One more time. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. I love you so much.